Can we open our Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 5, reading from verse 25. Genesis chapter 5, reading from verse 25. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground or the curse, the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all whom they chose, or which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became men of renown, or men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Is to the gospel according to Matthew. Reading in chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. The Lord will bless to our hearts the reading of his precious word. I would just like to refer for just a moment, a little bit of review, on our lesson from last week from the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis. You remember the wonderful man whom we had before our minds at the time. That man called Enoch, dedicated to God. What a wonderful man. And I wonder How many of us were moved as we looked at the life of this man dedicated to God? In Genesis 5 and 24, we read that Enoch walked with God. Oh, how we could righteously covet such a wonderful thing, to walk with God. Not only on Lord's Day, on Sunday, when we come here to listen to God's Word for a half or three quarters of an hour, or on Sunday evening, or in the prayer meeting, or occasionally, Enoch walked with God moment by moment, day by day. Oh, how we could long for an experience like that. Enoch was a holy man. He was too holy for the earth that he was living on at the time. And you know, we find that God took him. He just took him. How that reminded us of you and I, who are born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and one day God is going to take us. He's going to take us to be with himself, to be with him and like him for all eternity. And you know something? The more you and I dwell upon that, the more we make these thoughts the mind of our counsel, the more our lives are going to be conformed to the image of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The threefold testimony that we looked at, the exception to the gloom in that fifth chapter, because all we read is, this man lived so many years, hundreds of years, and he died. And he died. But oh, how beautiful when we think of Enoch. He not only walked with God, we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, he pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, beloved, it caused me to search my heart in the presence of God. Can it be said of me, he pleased God? Should not this be the desire of every born-again child of God, that we live to please our blessed Savior? He pleased God. Not only did he walk with God, not only did he please God, but he had a witness for God. Oh, so many of us are afraid to witness. Like the little girl I told you about in high school, you know. She was just a young teenager, and she found the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, and she was so happy. Her sins were forgiven. Now she was on her way to heaven. But oh, you know, there's nothing that Satan wants more than to destroy a life for Christ. And it wasn't long, and the little girl was not much different than the other little girls in her class in school. And one day one of the Christians asked her, she said, do the girls and boys in your class know that you're a Christian? She said, you know, they never even suspect. This isn't what God wants in your life and mine. He wants us to be a witness, a testimony for him. And now look at what we've been reading this morning. In that fifth chapter, the latter part, we find another man. And God tells us very little about Methuselah, except for the fact that he lived 969 years and he died. Isn't that too bad? You know, after we were speaking about the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil when we were meditating on the first chapters of Genesis, someone asked me, what did I think would have happened had man been permitted to take of the tree of life, Adam, if you will, and live forever? Beloved, can you imagine what kind of place this world would be had man been able to partake of the tree of life and live in sin forever upon this earth? Chaos and tragedy. But God, in his wise plan, expelled Adam from the Garden of Eden, and he was not permitted to take of the tree of life. But here's a man lived almost 10 centuries, almost 1,000 years. And it is recorded of him, and he died. But he had a son whose name was Lamech. And it says Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. Now I have no authority for what I'm going to say right now except that the thought has come to me. Here we find three sevens. 777 years. And we find in God's word that the number seven speaks to us of perfection. And it made me think that no doubt this man Lamech was a godly man. And of him was born another man of whom we read, and Noah walked with God. His father must have witnessed to him. How that speaks to our hearts as fathers this morning. What kind of an example are we showing to our children? What kind of a witness are we bringing before those whom God has been pleased to give us? I'm sure that Lamech must have brought up Noah to fear God and to love God. But now notice chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. All which they chose. Now you know, there can be a lot of controversy gone into in regard to this verse. Because people say, well, what was it? Does it mean that men of God came down from heaven and married these daughters of the children of men? I'm not prepared to say. But I'll tell you, it gives a tremendous example. And it tells us very plainly, and I quote now from CHM, Macintosh, the mingling of that which is of God with that which is of men is a special form of evil and a very effectual means in the hands of Satan for marring the testimony of Christ on the earth. And it turned me in thought to the Epistle of Corinthians where we read, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And so many people think this only speaks of the marriage vow. An unsaved person is not to be married to a person who is a born-again child of God. And how true that is. I think of a young lady who was in my Sunday school class. It's quite a few years ago now. And this young lady was convicted of her sin. And we prayed for her. Oh, how we prayed for this teenage girl. Did you know one day, Lois came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And she seemed to witness for the Lord. She seemed so happy that now her sins were forgiven. She came from a home where there had been some spiritual background, but very little. Father and mother weren't going to any church of any kind. And neither were the children encouraged to go. But praise God, this young lady was born again. Her younger sister was saved. And I'll never forget the night when it was my privilege to baptize 14 believers, and 13 of them were teenagers. And Lois was among them. But you know, a couple of months later, Lois came to us in the assembly, and she said, I think I'm going to be married. One of the first questions we asked her was, what about the young man? Is he a Christian? She said, no, he isn't. He's not saved. But she said, I'm praying for it. Oh, how often we hear this. But you know, if we go contrary to the word of God, we cannot expect God's blessing. And she pursued this course. We talked to her. We told her that she was going exactly opposite to the word of God. For the word of God says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What righteousness or what fellowship hath light with darkness? Or righteousness with unrighteousness. Or Christ with Belial or Satan. No fellowship. We warned this young lady. But she pursued her course. And she married this young man. And within 1 year's time, was one of the most miserable young ladies that we've ever known. ready for the divorce court. Nothing but trouble in her life. I thought of that as I read this verse this morning. Oh, child of God, you and I have no business walking hand in hand with the world. You and I have no business having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We're to bear a witness like Enoch did to our Lord. We're to walk in ways well-pleasing to Him. You notice it says? At first, you know, it looks good. And I've often heard people say, well, you know, I married an unsaved person, and I prayed for this person, and he got saved. Well, that's the exception rather than the rule. And at first, you know, the scene looks good. It says there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. You and I know men of renown in the world, but that doesn't make them godly men, does it? Here is the result, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's a chaotic picture, isn't it? That's a black picture. But think of the days when you and I were without Christ. Think of when we were still in our sins. Was it not true of you and of me? The wickedness of man was great. The imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Oh, you hear some people say, as long as the heart's good. God says the heart's bad. God says our heart by nature is wicked. The psalmist says, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it takes the rebirth through the Spirit of God to change that heart. We used to teach the children that chorus, my heart was black with sin. Until the Savior came in, His precious blood I know has washed it white as snow. And in His word I'm told, I'll walk the streets of gold, a wonderful, wonderful day when He washed my sins away. May I ask you, dear friend of mine this morning, have your sins been washed away? Has that heart of yours been changed? Because every one of us were born with the same kind of a heart, black with sin. Praise God for each one in the room this morning, which the Spirit of God has done a work. Praise God for everyone who has been at the place called Calvary and seen there the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, nailed to that cruel cross, and trusted Him as their personal Savior. Have you? Have you ever acknowledged that you were born in sin? That that heart was black? And that there was nothing you could do yourself to save yourself? And you can look back to that day when you trusted Christ. What a day. Oh, what a change in my life since Jesus came into my heart. There is no true joy. There's no peace. There's no happiness, real happiness, apart from that which is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You know, when I was an early teenager, in fact, in my first year of teens, because I was 13 years old when God saved me, but before that time, this scripture bothered me. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And it always reminded me of Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And I'd think, yes, I've heard the gospel since I was able to know what it was all about. Since I was able to understand it, and I'm still without Christ, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You might be here this morning and the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart many, many times, but you've never yielded. You've never yielded that stubborn will to Christ. And you're still in your sins this morning. Oh, beloved, anyone in this place, anyone anywhere that is truly on their way to heaven has had an experience with the Christ of Calvary. Without it, there is no salvation. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, we read in Ephesians, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By grace are ye saved, through faith in that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. How often when we seek to speak to people about their sins and about eternity and about God, they tell us, well, I've always done the best I could. I've lived by the golden rule. I've given to the church. I've done this and I've done that and I've done the other thing. And their big problem is that there's a great big eye standing between them and God. Oh, beloved, it's a case of laying down our own deadly doings and trusting the one who has paid the price of salvation at Calvary. And we see pictures of him all through this wonderful book that we've been studying. And so it says, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 100 years. And God saw in verse 5 that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. I wonder what you were thinking about as we read these verses this morning. I know the thoughts that came to my mind. And when you turn over to the 11th verse of the 6th chapter, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Oh, it just reminded me of the days in which we're living today. You're almost afraid to pick up a newspaper. The conditions that are existent in the world today are just a fulfillment of God's word. Remember what we read from Matthew chapter 24? In the days of the coming of the Son of Man, the conditions are going to be like they were in the days of Noah. What were the conditions in the days of Noah? The earth was filled with violence. The earth was corrupt. What do we see in the world today? We see corruption. We see disobedience. We see disobedience not only to parents. We see disobedience to authority of all kind. We see young people rising up against those that are seeking to teach them in the colleges. But oh, we cannot blame it on the young. I remember not too long after World War II, I remember hearing a servant of the Lord stand up, warning the people of God of that which was going to take place in the world because the family altar had been forsaken almost completely. Oh, what about it? Is the word of God honored and revered in your home and mine? Do we know what it is to have our children get into the presence of God with us and teach them God's word and the things of God? What a responsibility is ours. Well, you say, perhaps, you say, I don't have any children. But oh, there are people all around you to which you have a responsibility. You and I are responsible to bring God's word to those that are around us. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. You will notice as you read the word of God and as you study, the result of sin, the result of departure from God and denying the truths of God is judgment. Is judgment. And here, after these hundreds of years since Adam was created, the Lord looked down upon the earth and he found it corrupt and full of violence, and he said, it repenteth me that I have made man. And judgment was pending. Judgment was about to fall from a righteous God upon this sin-sick world. And beloved, we are living in days like that today. Judgment is about to fall upon those who are denying the very existence of God. I noticed just a little note on the air last evening as we were driving back home from Jacksonville. And this commentator was mentioning how that this one church organization was only able to send $1.5 million less than a year ago to the mission field because of the apathy, the don't care attitude of the people in the church. And yet in this wonderful day in which we live, the gospel is going forward like it has never gone forth before. Radio is reaching to the four corners of the earth. And many are being saved. But wickedness is increasing on every hand. I suppose you noticed, as I did, another nation in South America has joined the communist fold. Another picture, another sign that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. If you're not saved this morning, you should be trembling, because God's judgment is about to fall upon this wicked world. And if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ should fulfill that promise that He made at Bethany to His disciples, that day, as He ascended into the presence of God, He said, "I will come again." You remember John 14? Those lovely words, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." But He doesn't stop there. He says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." We have not yet seen the fulfillment of that promise. And I'm reminded of the words that we read here. It says in verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Reminds me again of the long suffering of God, who willeth not the death of any, who willeth not that any should perish, but that all might come to the knowledge of sins forgiven through faith in Christ. The Lord Jesus didn't come last night, but He may come today. And if you're not saved, what about your soul? We're reading there in Matthew, "Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other shall be left." You talk about chaos. Oh, the chaos that faced the world when Noah was shut in. And the next time it is our privilege to speak in the book of Genesis, we'll be talking about Noah and about the ark. But you know, when God shut Noah in, because it was God that shut him in and closed the door, oh, the chaos. Imagine what it must have been like. The fountains of the deep were open. The heavens were open and the rains descended and the floods came. There was no hope for those who were outside the ark of God's salvation. And beloved, if the Lord Jesus Christ should return today, if that glorious shout should be heard, the Lord Jesus would come for those who are saved and on their way to heaven, and you're without Christ, it would be chaos. Damned and doomed in hell for all eternity. You're without excuse. You've heard the gospel many times. That sweet story of Jesus and His love. That sweet story that tells of the Savior who came from heaven's glory and went all the way to Calvary. That one who knew no sin, who was made sin for you and for me, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And you're here this morning and you're still turning a deaf ear to it. And yet you can have eternal life. For the Lord Jesus Christ, with arms outstretched, is saying, "Come unto me. Come unto me, ye that are tired, heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest and peace in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what about you and I, who are on our way to heaven? What are we to be found doing till He comes? Watching? Waiting, expecting our Lord from heaven, are we? Or are we so busy with things of time and sense that we're forgetting about the fact that tomorrow we'll be in the glory? If God reckons time, it'll only be a moment. It is almost 2 years now since the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary. You remember, I believe it's in the Epistle to Peter we read where he speaks of a day as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day, and also in the book of Psalms. And as God reckons time, it's almost 2 days. Almost 2,000 years. I don't believe in setting dates, but you know I believe that Jesus is coming very soon. Oh, what that should do to your heart and mine. We should get into the presence of our blessed Lord. And we may find grace. We may find comfort. We may find peace. And we'll want to serve Him. We'll want to live for Him.
There isn't anything in this world like living for Jesus. What are you living for? What are you working for? See how much money you can accumulate in this world? I've seen people that have done that. And I've seen it blown away with a hurricane. And I've seen it taken another way. I often think of the rich young farmer that the Word of God speaks to us in the Gospel according to Luke, who said, I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater, and I'll fill them and I'll say, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for thyself. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You know, there's going to be much required of you and I who profess Christ as our Savior. God is expecting us to live for Him. The Lord is expecting us to do as Enoch did and as Noah did. Walk with Him and talk with Him and please Him and witness for Him. Are we doing it? May God's Word speak to our hearts and our consciences this morning. Should there be one here or more without Christ, won't you come to Him right now? The Lord Jesus said, I will give you rest. Rest from those sins. Rest from that burden. He'll save you if you'll only trust Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Remember, after the door of the ark was closed, there was nothing but perishing for those who were outside. And for those who are outside of Jesus Christ, when He comes for His own, there will be nothing but perish for all eternity. Or if you're not saved, won't you trust my blessed Savior this morning? He loved you so much He died for you. And He wants you to bow your head right now, confess your sin, say, yes, Lord, I will trust Thee with my soul, guilty, lost, and helpless. Thou canst make me whole. Won't you be whole, completely whole this morning as you take Christ as your own personal Savior? And child of God, won't you rededicate what's left of that life of yours this morning? Say, yes, Lord, I want to serve You. I want to live for You. I want You to have my all. Shall we pray? Blessed God, we are solemnized in Thy presence this morning as we consider the infallible, incorruptible Word of the living God, and how we're reminded that it's like a sharp sword that pierceth even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. We feel that Thou hast been speaking to us, Lord, this morning through Thy Holy Spirit. And we ask that our lives will bear fruit for Thy glory day by day as we walk with Thee, as we please Thee, as we witness for Thee. O God, for that soul that might be here, that has never trusted Christ as their personal Savior, grant that right now, in the quiet of this moment, they will come. Come to the arms of the Savior, and trust Him, and be saved, not only for today and tomorrow, but for time and for eternity. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Praise God. Bless Thy Word, we pray. Separate us with Thy blessing now. We give Thee the thanks from the bottom of our heart for the privilege of looking into Thy Word and meeting in this way this morning. In Jesus' worthy and precious name, amen.